We do have a message this morning. It's not a Memorial Day message. Sometimes the Lord allows me to do that, but not today. It's just something different. Today we're going to be looking at 1 Thessalonians 5:18. If you have your copy of God's Word, if you turn to 1 Thessalonians 5:18. And we're going to be speaking on 6 traits of unthankfulness. We're going to see what an unthankful person is like. We're going to give traits of them. And we're going to see that from the Bible. The Bible gives us examples of people that are unthankful and the things that cause them to be that way. And so we do have 6 things written down, and we'll be going to several different verses today as we look at this text. But our main text will be 1 Thessalonians 5:18. Let's go ahead and read that verse. 1 Thessalonians 5:18, the Bible says, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." Father, thank you for the reading of your word this morning. Help us now as we try to preach for just a few minutes on this message, Lord, these 6 traits that we find in the Bible that shows the spirit of an unthankful person. And God, what we need to do when we find ourselves in this condition, Lord, help us with it. Keep us out of the flesh and in your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, first, I would like for us to recognize the fact here that man on his own really is an unthankful person. A man without Jesus in his heart is going to be thankful for a few things, but they're usually sinful things. But man, by inherent nature, is not very thankful. In fact, you can see that in the case of a baby. Have you ever seen a baby thank you for giving him a bottle? You ever seen him give thanks because you changed his diaper? He might have quit crying for a while, but he didn't say thank you for changing that diaper. Babies and kids usually have to be taught to be thankful. And so on our own, in our own flesh, our own will, we're not very thankful people. And so we want to look at a few things here today. I know as our kids were growing up, they're all grown now. We'll have our last teenager this coming year, right? No more teenagers. In July, our youngest turns 20. So it's been a fast time for all these kids growing up. But as they grew up, as they were young, and we would have parties, birthday parties or Christmas, we'd open presents. And, you know, at the beginning, all they want to do is rip that present open. They want to grab it and see what it is, throw the wrapping paper down, and really don't care about the card that's attached. And then when they see what it is, then they throw that down and they open the next one and we'll see what's next. Is it bigger? Is it better? Yeah. And so you don't see much thankfulness there. My wife always had the kids start opening their cards first before they could open the presents. And I know that crushed them. But now I believe they're more thankful for them. And so we don't have to tell them anymore to open up the card first. They know that that's what they do. And they are thankful that way. But as I said, your inherent nature is not very thankful. You're very selfish. By nature, man is very selfish. And so in our text here, Paul is writing, and he says, "In everything, give thanks." Now that is pretty hard for most people, in everything. Think about it. Think about those things that have happened to you in your life, those things that you may be suffering from things right now. And the Bible tells us that in everything that we're to give thanks, that's a little difficult to swallow there. What about tragedy, sadness, heartache, death, all this? I mean, are we going to be happy about that? No, he doesn't say he's happy. He says thankful, and everything give thanks. So everything that happens, I truly believe this from proof of God's word, that God is a sovereign God, that everything he knows, it passes through him one way or the other. Even the devil, the things that the devil does, God allows the devil to continue doing that. And a lot of people have a hard time understanding that, grasping that, and wonder, why don't God just go ahead and destroy the devil? Well, listen, friends, it's because of sin that the devil is even out there and God's allowing him to do these things. It's only by God's good grace and his love for us that he even allows us to breathe our next breath. So, you know, God is sovereign. And he knows everything. He sees everything. And we sometimes we have that little phrase we say, God is good. God is always good. He's good always. There's a lady that was at the church we were previously at, and she would say that all the time. He's always good. And he is. God is a good God. But because of his goodness and grace and mercy and his sovereignty and because of his holiness, we're going to suffer through some things in this world. And the Bible says here that in everything, give thanks. Not just the things that you're happy about and glad that have come about, but everything. And the reason being is because it's God's will for us. All right, so let's look through this with the help of the Lord here as we look at these six things. The first thing we want to mention today, a trait of an unthankful person is going to be doubt. A person that doubts is usually unthankful in their spirit. Doubts about God, doubts about his character, doubt about God's truth, doubt about God's word, doubt about his will, his wisdom, his love. If you doubt God about things, then you're going to become unthankful. And I know there's a lot of people in that condition today. If you want to look at John chapter 20, verses 24 through 25, John 20, 24 and 25, we see an example here of one that is not very thankful because he had doubt. Look at John 20 and 24. Now, what has happened here, of course, is Jesus had appeared to the disciples, and they were all there except for Thomas and, of course, Judas Iscariot, who had already killed himself. But Thomas is not there with the other disciples, and this is after Jesus was resurrected, and he appeared unto many, but he comes into this room where all the disciples are except for Thomas. And they all seem, and all the disciples are overjoyed and thankful that he's there. But look what happened, John 20 and 24. But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said unto him, we have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand in his side, I will not believe. You see, all the other disciples were overjoyed that Jesus was there. They were very thankful for it. Thomas is not, because he doesn't believe it. He's not seen him. He has doubts about it. That's why we call him Doubting Thomas, because he doubted that Jesus was there. Even though all of his closest friends were right there telling him to his face, listen, we saw Jesus. And he should have been very happy and very thankful that Jesus had risen from the dead, like he said he did, and he was there among them. But he was not thankful. He had doubts about it, doubting God's word, because God had told him. Jesus, before he left, told them several times he would arise on the third day. But Thomas here is not thankful for that. And so, Thomas just sells up and has doubts and don't believe it. He's unthankful. And he says, well, the only way I'm going to believe any of this is if I see it my own self. I need proof. Listen, how things change, though, 8 days later. Look at it there in John 20 and 26. John 20 and 26. And after 8 days, again, his disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, peace be unto you. Then saith he to Thomas, reach hither thy finger and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. And Thomas answered and said unto him, my Lord and my God. So suddenly we see a big change in Thomas. At first, with his doubts, he was not thankful that Christ had risen. Now that he has proof, and there Jesus is in front of him, and he's been called out for his doubt. He said, well, Jesus said, he says, be not faithless. You see, that indicates that Thomas's faith was weak. But when he sees Jesus, of course, he has proof, and suddenly his attitude changes. His spirit changes. He's thankful. And he calls Jesus by what he knows him as, his Lord and my God. And so we see the difference in someone that has doubt and somebody that don't have doubt. One that has doubt's not thankful. One that doesn't have doubt becomes thankful. So as soon as all this doubt was removed, Thomas and his thankfulness showed up. And listen, as long as you're filled with doubt, you will not be thankful. Second trait of a unthankful person, selfishness. Selfishness. You know, people say, well, I don't want to do things the way God wants them done. I don't care what the Bible says. You ever heard anybody say that? That's dangerous right there, friends. But they're selfish. I want to do it my way. I don't care the way my parents said and what the Lord says. I know how I feel. And so I want to be in charge because I know better, because it's me. It's very selfish. And I'm reminded of a husband and wife in the book of Acts. The early New Testament church had begun multiplying. And the Bible tells us that people were selling off things that they had, their lands and their goods, and they were bringing portions of the sale and the money they'd made there to the disciples to be distributed among all the church members. Now, they were not required to do this, but that's what they were doing because they loved each other. And the Bible says they had all things in common. And they had singleness in heart. Well, there were two people there that were not in line with the rest of the church. And what had happened, Barnabas, who was very well off, had sold off some property and gave all of the money that he made off of the proceeds to the church. It was a very big amount, and it garnered a lot of attention. A lot of people were talking about it. And, you know, Barnabas wasn't looking for the praise from it, but people, of course, were naturally, you know, talking about it, and it kind of exalted him above people in some people's minds, especially this husband and wife. And so they want that same attention. They're craving it. Now look what happened there in Acts 5:1. But a certain man named Ananias with Sapphira, his wife, sold a possession and kept back part of the price. His wife also being privy to it and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land? Whilst it remained, was it not thine own? And after it was sold, was it not in thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God. And Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and gave up the ghost, and great fear came on all them that heard these things. And the young men arose, wound him up, and carried him out, and buried him. And it was about the space of 3 hours after, when his wife, not knowing what was done, came in. And Peter answered unto her, tell me whether ye sold the land for so much. And she said, yea, for so much. Then Peter said unto her, how is it that you have agreed together to tempt the Spirit of the Lord? Behold, the feet of them which have buried thy husband are at the door, and shall carry thee out. Then fell she down straightway at his feet, and yielded up the ghost, and the young men came in and found her dead, and carrying her forth, buried her by her husband. And great fear came upon all the church, and upon as many as heard these things. Well, while everyone else in the church was very thankful for the way they were being able to live, they were thankful for the gifts that people had been giving. They've been given from a true heart, a true spirit, love for each other. And like I said, it wasn't a requirement, but that's just what they were doing. And while everybody else was thankful, we have these two selfish, scheming couple right here. They want to look better than everybody else. You see, they didn't give their portion because of their love for the church. They gave their portion to be seen by men. They wanted to be acknowledged. They craved the attention. They were very selfish. And so this money they had, even Peter said, listen, you could have kept it yourself. That's not the problem here. It was yours to sell. It's yours to keep. But you've lied about it. You've claimed that you gave all the proceeds, and the Holy Ghost has told us that that's not the truth. Why have you lied? Why have you tempted the Holy Ghost? And so we see what happened here. Both of them actually died. They had to pay for this sin, and it was sin because they were lying to the Holy Spirit, and that's a very dangerous thing. And listen, they wanted this attention from everybody. Well, they got the attention, it just wasn't the way they wanted it. Yeah. Listen, you see what happened to them. They paid for their selfishness with their life. But while they're scheming and going on, they're not thankful for all these things the Lord has done for them. They're not thankful for the church and for their leadership that they had there. They just, they're selfish. The third thing we find about a trait of an unthankful person is worldliness. That word is used in churches a lot of times, and I've had people ask, say, what in the world is worldliness? How do you define that? Well, worldliness would be considered something that really is opposite of what the Lord would want. It's more of what the world would crave. And so just about anything, I mean, today we might look at somebody, they may be dressed like some kind of, I don't know what you want to call them, you know, something we wouldn't approve of. And we'd say, boy, they dress worldly. Or, you know, at times in churches, they've been people that claim things to be worldly that really wasn't. But it's almost, for each individual, it almost seems different. But you can look out on the whole of it and say, well, for example, look at a rock concert and say, does that belong in the church? No, that's worldly. Look at a bar where people go and drink and get drunk. Does that belong in the church? No, that's worldly. And so there's different things that people do that are considered worldly that would not be godly. Now, worldliness causes you to crave things such as stuff, you know, money, homes, cars, fancy things, you know, popularity. And when you're like that, you're not thankful for the things that God has given you. You always crave more because of the worldliness. You don't think you're getting what you deserve or what you want. Now, one look around at today, you can see everybody today is that selfish worldliness trait about them. Everybody wants the next big thing, the most popular item. People are just desperate for that next iPhone that's coming out. I don't know what number they're up to now, but there'll be people that will stand in line for days waiting on that new phone because that's their way of thinking. That phone is not going to be any better than the previous phone they had. It may have a few more megapixels in the camera or something like that, but it's not life-changing. And I remember when Mary and I first, when we got married, that was over 35 years ago now, when we got married, we didn't have a home. We rented a place. It was not a very good place. I won't go into all the details, but it's a place you probably wouldn't want to live. And we didn't care. We were in love. We would have slept in a tent. And that's all we cared about. We wasn't trying, but she had what they called a hope chest back then, a cedar chest that, you know, she put Tupperware in and be saved up for when we get married. Just, you know, not expensive items. But we didn't care where we lived. As long as we were together, we were fine. Well, today, things are different. Today, when couples get married, and we got married very young. I was 18, and you were 18 too. You turned 19 that same month, though, at the end of the month. But we were 18 years old when we got married. But people today that get married, they think that they need everything already ready. They want the house. They want the two cars. They want a boat. They want a full furnished, everything in the house furnished, and they're getting it. Most of them are going in debt for it. But a lot of people today, they think that they need that stuff because that's their mentality. You know, they may be in love, but love is the thing that bonds you together. And that's the most important thing in a marriage, not your stuff. And so when you have that worldly mentality, if they don't get that house they wanted, that couple that just got married, they don't have, you know, we've only got one vehicle. How are we going to survive on one vehicle? So they become unthankful for having that one vehicle. No, we need two. You know, our house is not big enough. It only has one bathroom. We need two. Well, try raising a family of five people in a 1,200 square foot house with one bathroom. That's what I've done. You can do it. It's not easy. We have to wait in line sometimes, but I'm thankful for what God has given us. It may not be a mansion, but I'll tell you what, when you all your thoughts are worldly thoughts, then you become very unthankful. I'm reminded of a man named Demas. who used to work with the Apostle Paul. He was considered a fellow helper in the gospel. And he was a laborer there with Paul. And we all know Paul, of course. You could call him really the greatest preacher to ever walk the face of the earth besides Jesus Christ. I consider Peter, Paul, and the Lord, and possibly John the Apostle as being the greatest of preachers ever. But Paul, of all people, there he had this helper, Demas, who was right there with him. Boy, what an opportunity. But listen to what happened. 2 Timothy 4:10, the Apostle Paul is writing to his young son in the faith, Timothy, who had become a pastor, and Paul's trying to explain things to him, and he tells this to him. He says, "Demas has forsaken me, having loved the present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica." So Demas was there with Paul going through all the hardships Paul was seeing. Paul, of course, being in prison, beaten. His message, of course, was not accepted in most places. But here Demas was drawn back to the world. He was from Thessalonica. Thessalonica was one of the most wicked cities on the face of the earth at the time. But that worldliness that they had was drawing Demas out of the gospel, away from Paul. And that's what Paul's talking about. He's forsaken me. So this was not a mutual agreement that, okay, you know, Demas, you want to go home for a little while and, you know, take a vacation. No, it wasn't that. Demas forsook him. It was a scandal is what's happened. And Demas says, "I'm done with the gospel. I'm going back into the world because it's got a draw on me. There's things I love that's out there." Now, Thessalonica, that was the place where the synagogue of the Jews heard Paul preach that time. They got all mad and caused a huge riot. And they went over to that man's house named Jason, who had been allowing people to stay there that were Christians. And they pulled him out of his house and was going to kill him, beat him to death, accused him of turning the world upside down and everything else. And then those same people from that place followed Paul over to Berea and tried to get him run off there. And he had to leave there. And so Thessalonica, there were some bad people there. There was a lot of idolatry there, not just the Jews there, but it was a Greek city, and it was filled full of these Greek gods and idols, and that's the religion, the main religion was there. That's what Demas was wanting. He wanted to get back into the world. Well, the Bible says in 1 John 2:15, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever." Listen, as long as you love the Lord, the world, you will not be thankful for the things that God has given you. Your mind's going to be always preoccupied on worldly things, and you will not thank the Lord for what he's allowed you to have. The fourth thing we find in the traits of an unthankful person is unthankful people usually have a critical spirit about them. Critical. They criticize everything. They become bitter, negative, sour about stuff. They're always looking for the bad thing in everything. They're never looking for the good. They become critical about it. You know, they want to criticize you when they think it's not the way that it ought to be or the way they think it should be. And all this, of course, comes from pride. Now, you're going to find that critical people are usually very lazy people. They don't really want to do anything on their own. And when somebody does take the initiative to do something, they criticize them. Try being a pastor for a while. You're going to find that anytime you try to do something, there'll be those that don't do anything. They sit on a pew, perhaps. They come to church when they feel like it. But the first time the pastor does something, gets a little initiative, the Lord tells him to do something, he starts a ministry, he starts to do something, there'll be somebody there with a critical spirit that will stand up and criticize it. They won't like it, but they're not going to do anything. They're not going to put forth any effort. Listen, it's that way at work as well. You know, I work in tech support and have for 17 years. And I could take 200 calls a day and help 200 people, and they could praise and be, you know, tell my boss how great it was, and all my work was good. you let one person criticize me and complain about the way I handled the call or whatever, and you can guarantee I'll be in the office getting reprimanded. I could help 200 people, no problem. But one person that's critical will have me in hot water. And that's the way this world works. They're criticized. And those kind of people are not thankful people. They're not. You got to be careful. You'll find yourself that way. Let's say, for example, there's something that needs to be done. Everybody knows it needs to be done. But everybody is really, they're too lazy to do it, or they procrastinate and don't want to take charge. There's not a leader. And that's one of the big problems in this world. There's no leaders in this world. Everybody's a follower. But there's this thing that needs done. Everybody knows it, but nobody wants to put forth any effort to get it done. So somebody steps up to the plate and says, I'll take care of this. And they'll go about doing what needs to be done. And as soon as they do it, there'll be those people that didn't want to do anything. They're going to stand up. I wouldn't have done it that way. I wouldn't have painted it that color. I wouldn't have used that kind of material. I wouldn't have done this. I wouldn't have spent that kind of money. I wouldn't do that. And that's the way they are. They'll criticize, and they're not thankful for that person that took the initiative, got up, and started doing something. Now, you look around, you'll see that. I've seen it all my life. And listen, if you're critical in your spirit, you won't be thankful for the things the Lord's done for you. The fifth thing we find in a unthankful person, a trait, and it's kind of goes in line with that last critical one, is they're usually bitter. Bitterness. Now, this type of person is always upset about something. They live their life for drama. They're always bitter. Somebody's done them wrong. Somebody said something about them. Nobody understands, you know, all this. I got the short end of the stick. It's always me that doesn't get the thing that they need to get. And so they become bitter. They're unthankful. And they're unthankful in their spirit. They don't have room for thankfulness because the bitterness takes over their life. And they may not even understand or realize that they're this way. But everybody around them does. You better believe if you're a bitter person, everybody you come in contact knows it. And you know people like that. Maybe something bad's happened to them. And, you know, maybe they're at a point in their life they're never going to let it go. They'll never forget about it. And they've done settled it in their mind. This is the way it is. I'm always going to be this way. I'm not going to change. And they're going to remain bitter. And they drag it around like an old dead corpse around them. And nobody wants to be around a dead body. It could have been a bad divorce. Could have been, you know, they've lost some money. They've lost their job. Maybe their health. Maybe their spouse. Maybe something's happened in their life that's made them become this way. And they've determined they're just not going to ever be happy again. You may remember a woman named Naomi. Over in the book of Ruth, she had lost her husband and her sons. We remember the story. They had come from Bethlehem and moved into the land they wasn't supposed to be in. But yet there, her sons married these women, these Moabites. And she became very bitter because her husband and her sons died. And she pretty much lost everything she had except for her daughter-in-laws. And so she decides to return back to her homeland there in Bethlehem, the house of bread. It was after the famine was over. God was blessing the place again. She returns back there with her daughter-in-law. And as she enters in there, listen to what it says in Ruth chapter 1, verses 19 through 21. So they too went until they came to Bethlehem. And it came to pass when they were come to Bethlehem, that all the city was moved about them, and they said, Is this Naomi? And she said unto them, Call me not Naomi, call me Mara, for the Almighty has dealt very bitterly with me. I went out full, and the Lord has brought me home again empty. Why then call you me Naomi, seeing the Lord has testified against me, and the Almighty has afflicted me? That name Mara right there means bitterness. She had become so bitter over what her life had become, she was already settled, I'm going to remain this way the rest of my life. In fact, so much so, I don't even want to be called by my former name. You call me what I am now. I am bitter. I'm mad. And don't you forget it. That was her attitude. And she'd worked herself up into such bitterness that that's all she could think about. How bad she had it. God had caused this. And she was just, she's left with nothing. And here she is now. She has her daughter-in-law who loves her and has stuck by her. She said, your God's my God. Wherever you go, I'm going to go. And she had this faithful daughter-in-law there. But she was so bitter about all this, she didn't recognize what a blessing that she was to her. Well, you know, bitterness leads to unthankfulness. She wasn't thankful for it. Now, we know the rest of the story. We're not going to read the rest of it. But the rest of the story, of course, is God did bless her. And because of her daughter-in-law, who married a man, and she had children with her, and then Naomi all of a sudden has grandchildren. And so what does she do? She becomes thankful again. And things turn out good. And so as the bitterness leaves her because of the circumstances that's happened in her life and realizes the blessings she's had, then she becomes thankful again. She's thankful for that daughter-in-law. She's thankful for those grandkids. Well, you see, bitterness will cause you not to be thankful because it takes the place of everything else. All right, the sixth and final trait of an unthankful person is going to be, you may think this one's odd, an unthankful person is usually rebellious. They're rebellious. I'll live any way that I want. I don't need God. I don't need anybody at church telling me how to live my life. I don't need my parents to tell me what to do. I am this way, and that's just the way I am. I'm not changing. And because I'm like this, I'm going to do whatever I please. Well, as long as you're rebelling against God, you will remain unthankful. You'll remain that way. Just the very act of rebellion is proving your lack of a fear of God. You know, I don't care what the Bible says. If I want to go and live with somebody and not get married to them, I'm going to do that because that's the way society is today and that's what I want to do. And I don't like marriage. Well, the Bible says marriage between one man and one woman. So you're rebelling. When you rebel against God, you're being sinful and unthankful. I'm reminded of a young man in the Bible who he had it made. His father was very rich. He had lots of animals, cattle, and a big farm. And all of a sudden, the young man decides he don't want to be under his father's rule anymore. He wants to rebel. So he goes to Dad and says, Dad, I want what's going to come to me when you die. I want my inheritance now. Well, his dad lets him have it. And that boy takes off into another country that he doesn't belong in. All this time as he's rebelling, he's not thankful for what he had. There at home, he had a meal to sit down to every day. He had a place to stay. He had clothes to wear. He had people that loved him. He had it everything. But because of his rebellion, he's very unthankful for all that stuff until he hit the lowest point in his life. We all know the story. The prodigal son, as he's there in the hog trough eating slop, leftovers from the hog. Not what the hogs first got, but the leftovers, the husk. And he's down on his knees in the hog trough. And he remembers all those blessings that he once had. He remembers that dad that loves him. He remembers that home that was nice and warm and comfortable. He remembers that food that he could set at the table and eat every day. He remembers everything he had. And suddenly, he starts becoming thankful for that. And he wants all that back. Listen, rebellion will cause you to be unthankful. The whole time he's out there rebelling, spending his substance on riotous living, the Bible says. Wine, women, and song, that's what he was doing. He lost all of his friends. When his money ran out, he lost all of his friends. He lost everything. And it wasn't until he became thankful for what he once had and ended his rebellion that he became a thankful person again. Listen, you may be sitting here right now, and in your heart, you're rebelling against God. Out there listening right now on Facebook, there may be somebody right now on sermon audio or YouTube, and you're rebelling against God. And the whole time you're doing this, you're unthankful for the things that God has given you. God has given you, perhaps He's given you a home, a family. He's given you food to eat, all these things, but you're unthankful because you're in rebellion. You're living your life the way that you want to live it. You're not living a godly life. You're not living a life that's pleasing to the Lord. And because of that, you are rebelling. And let me tell you something. When you're rebelling against God, it's sin. And as long as you have sin in your heart, you'll not be a thankful person. Look, these things we need to do about it. You know, and it's pretty clear what the directive here is from our opening text there back in 1 Thessalonians 5:18. Because it's being thankful for everything, Paul writes. But he says at the end of that verse, "For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning who? You." Not them. Not him. Not her. Not somebody else. It says concerning you. So this message is very personal this morning. We need to be thankful in everything because that is God's will for our life. And it says in Christ Jesus. If you're a believer in Christ today, you're a Christian, then this is who he's talking to. It's God's will that you be thankful for everything. And listen, it takes the dynamic of Jesus Christ in order for us to be thankful. Without Christ, we won't be. So any of these six things, and there's more than this, I could have sat here and rattled off 20 different traits of an unthankful person, but six of these, all of them are attitudes of sinfulness, and each one of them is a direct blow to God because it is sin. Doubt, selfishness, worldliness, critical spirit, bitterness, and rebellion. You will never be thankful until your heart and your attitude reflects a thankful spirit. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we come to you this morning thanking you for the message. I pray, Lord, for that one out there today that may have one of these traits in their life. God, I especially pray for that one that's bitter. Lord, for that one that's rebelling. God, you know them. You know their heart. And Lord, you know as long as they remain this way, they're going to be unthankful in their spirit. God, I know that you want the best for us. You want us to live a life that's pleasing to you. And the only way we can, Lord, if we have a thankful spirit about us, that's how that we're able to help people and love people when we become thankful ourselves. Help us with it, God, in those times of selfishness that we have. Lord, that we'll do better. Lord, we'll look at you because we know it's God's will for our life. Through you, Lord, that we can do this. Help us with it, Father. For these things we ask in the name of Jesus. Amen. Well, if you need help with any of this, if you want to talk about it, if you have questions, concerns, why don't you just email me. My email address is pastor@pbcknox.com. You can see it up on the screen behind me, pbcknox.com. And you can reach me through the website or through that email, pastor@pbcknox.com. I'd love to help you if I can. And until next service, good Lord willing, the creek don't rise. We'll see you then.